I think let go of the guilt, like really focus on just being the best mom, the best dad in the moment. Like you can't plan for the future. I mean, you can plan for the future, but you can't impact the future. You can only impact right now. And the mistakes we made in the past, just let them go and learn from them and, you know, show up for your kids, family, and partner.
Welcome to Awaken Greatness, the essential podcast for dreamers, action takers, people who want to reach your full potential, and business owners that want their company to reach the next level. Each episode is a treasure trove of resources and tools that will explore the latest trends, actionable strategies, and the mindset shifts necessary to turn your dreams and aspirations into reality. Brought to you by the Dream Leaders Institute and hosted by Dr. Cliff Fisher. Tune in, turn up your dreams, and let's awaken the greatness within you.
All right, tribe. Welcome to Awaken Greatness with Dr. Cliff Fisher and Morgan Tucker. Brought to you by Dream Leader Institute, where we awaken your greatness and give you the tools to find and create your greatest self and raise the consciousness of the planet. I'm super excited to have this conversation, even though I'm not qualified at all to have the conversation. I just know my life experience with it. We talked about business last time. We're going to talk about family and we're going to talk about mom guilt. And I think there's a space in that where it's just a really hard space, both directions. So what's your initial thoughts, Morgan? Then we'll dive in.
Man, mom guilt's the real deal. And it doesn't matter what side of the table that you're sitting at, whether, you know, you're the amazing stay-at-home mom that is the all-supportive, you know, spouse, or you're the working mom that is trying to figure out how to balance life and work. There's guilt on both sides. And it is real in all directions. So this is literally for anybody and everybody.
Yeah. And I know when we were getting ready for this episode, like growing up, my mom was a single mom. So she had to work three jobs. She went to nursing school and I didn't see her much. And she didn't really have there wasn't like a choice of whether to work or not work. And so I know when I was in that, I was like, I want to have the family that the mom doesn't have to work. And so that was the world we created. And it was super interesting, especially with my ex-wife. So my first wife worked in the business with me. And I remember like when our family was starting to suffer and the work was starting to suffer, I said, what if you just pulled away, took care of our family? We can hire somebody to do the work in the office. And she's like, the two things she said was, nobody can do the job that I'm doing. And then what would we do without my income? And like, I'm like, we own the company. Like it would just flow through a different way. Yeah. That was the two things she said. And so I don't know what you feel, because I know you're the breadwinner. Like you've always been that.
Yeah.
How do you feel in that space?
Well, yes, it is truly a delicate ebb and flow. And it kind of like we talked about in the first episode that life is movement. So there really isn't such thing as balancing work and life, because life is ever moving. And it's like, if you take a breath, something's going to shift.
Yeah.
And so really trying to figure out how to see the business for what it is, the family for what it is, and the spaces that we're in it, the ebbs and flows, because we're in different seasons. And so sometimes the business demands more while the family is at a pretty good pace. And then, you know, something will happen with family and where, you know, the business just kind of has to maintain where it is. And so there's guilt associated with both of those sides, in all honesty. Because I can totally relate with you, right? Like, what are we going to do if I step away? You know, we've had seasons where I've had to step away because of family things, and I've had to rely on more people in the business, which means our profit checks go down.
Right.
We're not directly involved. And, you know, and then on the other side, you know, now we've got some change, big changes in the business. And so we're trying to stabilize the family where we are. And it's like, you know, when we have little kids, so, you know, showing up and being present for, you know, Lion King plays, archery tournaments, and, you know, daycare, if somebody's got a runny nose or strep throat or something, you know, it's real in all fronts. And I think, especially in these economic times where we are, you know, working, not working may not be an option. So, you know, taking the guilt out of that space is hard to do, but we do what's necessary. And I've learned a lot through in this space about how to prioritize well, really kind of stop listening to people that don't have any input. That's probably one of my number ones.
And I think it's super weird where the comments come from, because they'll come from the weirdest places. Like, I know some of the people that commented on, like, oh, you know, like my wife, she runs our home, she's CEO of our family. They're like, oh, well, the kids are growing up. Like, what's she going to do afterwards? I'm like, I don't know. Like, we still have work to do with our family. Like, there's, you know what I mean? Like, just because they go into high school does not mean the job's done. I think that's
stop parenting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And absolutely. So I think in the mom's guilt, I think one of the spaces that I think would be really helpful would be from a male perspective to just support the other person, whichever way they want to go, and not just be like, oh, you need to do that. Like, I think we do a lot of shooting, like, oh, you should do this or you should do that, versus, you know, how can I support you to do whatever you want to do? And I think that's really critical.
Yeah, I completely agree. And there are women, amazing women, that are cut out to just be homemakers. And that is where, in the space that they thrive, that is where they are most valuable. And they are, that is where their creative genius lies. Me, that is not my space. I have so much admiration for moms that homeschool. I cannot get over the admiration for that, because I would go completely nuts. And sometimes I can't wait to get my kids off to daycare. School and daycare, it's like, I love you, but go.
Sounds like that Calgon Take Me Away commercial.
Completely. But it's I know that for me, and I think also something that may have been underlying speaking to your, you know, for your ex-wife as well, is she found a lot of her purpose in the business as
well. Oh yeah.
I think when we connect ourselves and we find a place that in the workplace that we thrive, and it's maybe not at home all the time, there's guilt associated with that, but it's who we are, and that we need to also be able to be just as true to ourselves as we are to our children. And that it is of the utmost importance for us to, as moms and dads, not to lose who we truly are as we are parents, that it just becomes a part of who we are and just a role that we take as we are trying to raise beautiful human beings, not necessarily good children, but, you know, adults that can, you know, contribute to life. And they have to see that within us. They have to be able to see us in our creative genius space. Yeah. To know and have that modeled for them, because we learn everything. The majority of what we know as human beings is through imitation, right? So they're constantly watching who we are. And so if we are just one thing to our kids, they don't get the full scope of what it is to be a well-rounded human. And that I think it's extremely healthy for our kids to see us in several different lights, whether it is in the workplace or it's at home or volunteering, going to church and serving in a church. You know, it is so good for us to be modeling what real life is for our kids. And if we're only parents focused on parenting, then we are doing our kids an injustice.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And earlier when you said that, like, my ex-wife was really good. Like, she's super smart, got her degree in chemistry, physics, and math. Super smart. And yeah. What one of the things that pulled her into there was I was so focused on growing the business that that's where I gave attention. I wasn't about the home. So then her role kind of grew because she's like, oh, this is where I get acknowledged. This is where I get, you know, words of affirmation of what a great job you're doing at work. And I wasn't acknowledging the job at home the way I should have. And so it was such a fall down on my part.
Well, and I think, and it is so unintentional. You were necessarily saying, I don't value home. It is where, and that, oh man, that just even leads into a whole nother segment of, you know, as you're doing this ebb and flow piece and we are in these seasons where, like we said in the last episode, where your eyes are is where the business and where the life is going. And so when we inadvertently give more attention to one versus the other, it just naturally suffers a little bit. And it's, you know, and you can look at it as a suffer, or you can look at it as, hey, we've got some opportunities to be fully present in these moments. And I think that is really where I know DLI specifically has really helped me when I established a lot of my priorities for my home life and balance with the work, and you kind of get those together, you know, because they're separate priorities for work versus separate priorities for your business. And I got myself right in a lot of it, where even bookending my days of, hey, I have this morning routine that I try to stay really true to, and at the end of the day I kind of cash out on you know, hey, what did I get accomplished today? You know, and that everything in the middle can just be pure chaos and wind and, you know, kid pickup and how many cars did we get to the drive-through today versus how many chicken sandwiches are we doing all right? And, you know, health department and everything else, just the whirlwind happens in the middle. But if I can start my day and end my day with some grounding attributes, I can show up better for my family and for my work home place in both things. And I always have gratitude on both ends. I start my day with gratitude and I end my day with gratitude, because it is so like us to be human and to gripe and complain about the busyness of our lives when it's, at one point we were praying for the kids that we have now.
Right.
We're praying for the busyness of the business that we have now. We were lonely and didn't have the friends that are asking us to, you know, to come do things now. And instead of it being like, another kid birthday party this weekend, it becomes, hey, Lord, thank you for these friends and thank you for these influences that we have, because there was a time that I was desperate for these connections. And so showing up in the moments, starting your days right, and in just full transparency, I've got a 16-month-old. So if I say that I'm going to start my day at 4:30, There's a lot of times that she starts my day with, she just decides all of a sudden we're going to skip, you know, waking up at 7 o'clock like we have been doing. And now all of a sudden mom's up at 4:30. So guess where I am? So that's real life too, you know, especially if you've got little kids. Like, you know, I'm like, when I'm sitting there trying to pray and do my meditation and I just hear a, oh, over the outlet, and I'm going, oh.
And it's truly like, because I'm on the other end of that. I have 17 to 25 year olds, and you know what I wouldn't give to have them little again to say, hey, Dad, let's cuddle, watch, you know, like, you know, you're never going to get that back. And I think one of the biggest things we started in our family a couple months, like in October, so like 5 months ago, was where did you win today and where do you want to win tomorrow? And that has been such a cool thing. Just even with my wife out of town, like my daughter and I were still doing, where do you win today? Where do you want to win this week? And I have learned so much about her in that space versus how was your day? It's such a different space, and we get more of what we ask for. So we just seem like as a family, we just keep winning, 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 because that's what we keep asking.
That's so cool too, because my family, we started, especially the older girls who are 12 and 9, we're like, hey, what was the high for today? When were you your happiest today? And so they'll tell us a scenario and then say, hey, when, you know, what was the low for today? What was the ugh point? And even through asking these questions, you know, and this is just real life, I've found out that my older daughter is having some bullying at school. And I probably would have never known that if I was just like, hey, how was your day? You know, and that's like, and being fully engaged in the moment where we are, like we keep saying, just probably about every episode, you know, now, like, all we have is this moment.
Yep.
And to be fully present in whatever moments you're in, show up for work, show up for your kids, show up for your spouse, show up for yourself. And that's it. And so when you go to, you know, you lay your head on that pillow at night, you can say, you know what, God, I fully showed up today. And we do that every single day. And it's so much easier said than done. But your kids, you know, and I can't speak for your mom and your experience with that. My dad's mom was a single mom of four as well and had multiple jobs. So I know that too. But my mom was a homemaker.
Yeah.
And so there were lots of times that I saw both sides of it as well. I saw my grandmother who worked all the time. And then I had my other grandmother was a CEO of a major company in Atlanta that had a big, beautiful office, and she wore the most beautiful suits and high heels. And, you know, I will never forget this, you know, going up to her big office. And I said, I just want to be just like her. But I knew every day that even though she worked like that and her husband was a basketball coach and a high school PE coach, PE teacher, you know, she showed up at home too. They never missed a home cooked meal. She never missed a grandparent's day for me. She never missed an opportunity to do something with me and to show up when they, and it wasn't, I don't ever remember, other than going up to her office, which was some of the most magical times for me, I don't ever remember her being absent from work. And so I use her a lot as a lot of my examples, and she was just the most kind, and she never let her exhaustion show. And I don't know how she did that, honestly. I honestly don't know how she did a lot of that. Other than, you know, I probably equate it to, like, when she left work, there was not a cell phone attached to her hip, you know? And so she got to leave work at work and be at home, and, you know, when she was at home. And I try to capture some of those same things, too. I really try not to pull my phone up when we're at home. Yeah. It's a huge distraction as well. It takes you away from the moments.
So on the Mom Guild, it sounds like there's a lot of like things. And so I think this is where, like, a couple episodes ago, Jonathan and I did it on the priorities. And with Mom Guild, like, how do you manage that? I think it's really setting the priority. And then the other thing, guilt, and I think I told you this when we first came up with the topic, guilt is a lot like a rocking chair. It'll keep you busy, but you don't get anywhere. And so I think guilt is one of those things. It's a really bad feeling, and it doesn't do anything to help. And so just to have that space of forgiveness for yourself.
Yeah. And to have some practical strategies. Where this really won't suffice for the homemaker, because, you know, she's beautifully being able to accomplish a lot of these things. But if you're a working mom listening to this, one of my biggest strategies was to let go of the unnecessary. Cleaning my house, doing my laundry. And even at this point, Sky and I talked about, you know, in this season of busyness now, where I'm like, you know what? There's a Fit Chef that's just down the street. We may be going to get all of that Fit Chef.
Yeah, right.
Because he likes to eat at a certain time, and I know right now the business is having to pull me into that time frame of when that window of his eating window, and a lot of that's just for his, you know, as he's building muscle and you know, leaning out a lot, you know, that he's got to be pretty structured in a lot of his eating times. And so I also know that about my, you know, the priorities with the home. And so, and knowing my husband's self, so I'm trying to set myself up for success as much as you can. So planning actually has a good bit to do with it as well. You plan what you can.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And so, and most moms are going to do that, but it is absolutely vital that you plan some things and get rid of the distractions that you can. You know, if that means you, and you're going to have to say no to some things on both sides.
Yeah.
You know, because when we are being the best version of ourselves, a lot of times when we say no to, especially to the unnecessary, because there will always be a PTA meeting or a mom's club that's looking for someone to volunteer to bring cupcakes, or, you know, especially when you are, you know, the next fundraiser at school, you know, there's always going to be something for that. And I'm not saying that you have to, you know, not do those things, but if those are, you know, not on your strong suit or your priorities, it is okay to say no to those things, because there are moms that want to do those things. And so let them do them and do them well, because when we say yes to everything, we are inadvertently saying no to a lot of other things.
Yeah. I always tell my team and family, just like, when we say yes to one thing, we're saying no to 1,000 other things. And when we say no to one thing, we're saying yes to 1,000 other opportunities. So you're 100% right on that. And I love the perspective, and really it is making the priorities the priorities. And if it's important for you to do that, then there'll be other things you have to say no to. So, and I know, speaking from like my side, like with my wife, she stays home. She takes care of our family. Honestly, she's been gone for 12 days, and I'm like, it's a lot. Like, everything she does between taking care of us, our dog and our home, like, she is like always has that time and space and is always supportive of us. And, I don't know what I would do without that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and right into that is, you know, society, you know, as we even started at the top of this episode, where everybody's got an opinion and, you know, call them what you want. Karens, Kara, you know, whatever they are, they're going to always try to speak into your life and tell you what you should do and all of those. But, you know, only you know what is best for your family and how to do that well. And really, if I can just even address the society, don't be a part of the problem. And instead of saying, this is what you should do, how about turn around and asking, how can I help?
Yeah.
You know, and being in that space of just humility, not saying that I don't know anything about you or your circumstance, and I'm not going to impose my opinion on you.
Yeah.
Because I don't know who you are. And, you know, even if you are in a position that you can't help someone else necessarily, it costs nothing to share a kind word of encouragement. It costs nothing to do a random act of kindness, offer a hug,
yeah,
to a mom, you know, pack an extra snack in your kid's bag for a kid who's mom may not be able to get to it, you know, or forgot about snack day. You know, there's all kinds of things that we can do to lift and support each other up. And if you're a stay-at-home mom, you are blessed and raised. We raise you up. And same for the working mom.
Yeah.
You are blessed and we raise you up because we are all in this together on both sides, no matter where we are. We're all human beings trying to create lives that are great for not only ourselves, but for our children. And a simple act of servitude goes a long way on all fronts.
Yeah, 100%. I think I loved a couple things you said there. One that I really latched on to, like, you defining success, not letting the outside world define success. Like, I think that's such a critical space because we see all these things of like, oh, this mom's doing it all. She has this and this, everybody's happy. And I'm like, you know, just be careful of what you see on Facebook or whatever that space is. And is it, I have no idea. Cause I don't really pay. I don't do it so much, but like, you know, it's a moment. You know what I mean?
And everybody's got their Facebook life and their Instagram life, and it is not real life. And if you are even putting any of your worth or value into what you see into social media, it is a lie straight from the pit of hell.
Yeah.
That is nobody's life. It's just not. There are moments that are captured. They're great. They're fun. But there are so many people that are just social media parents that if you really took a deep dive or asked their kids a question,
yep,
it would not be at all what is portrayed on social media. And in a world right now where we have the most accessibility, yet we are the most depressed and isolated group. Nobody is raising a generation like we're raising that is in economic uncertainty, that we have accessibility more than any other generation have. Our kids are tech natives, so they have full accessibility to anything and everything, and they feel like there's an instant gratification for everything we need. When we know as parents, it takes hard work to get to where we are, that everything is not a sense of entitlement. There is work that goes into it. And there is a lot of, it's like this little pyramid and this iceberg of where the top half, you know, people see your success, but they don't see the chunk of ice that's under the water, that the struggles that we've gone through. And our kids don't see that. And they are just constantly bombarded with the next best thing, the next best thing, the next best thing. And to raise kids in this time and age has never been done before.
Yeah.
And so it is truly vital for us as parents now to show up well in whatever capacity, and be unapologetic about who you are, what we stand for, and how we define success in our life.
I think you summed it up great right there. So I think that's 100% right on. So I think let go of the guilt, like really focus on just being the best mom, the best dad in the moment. Like you can't plan for the future. I mean, you can plan for the future, but you can't impact the future. You can only impact right now. And the mistakes we made in the past, just let them go and learn from them and, you know, show up for your kids, family, and partner.
Absolutely. Be the best you can be in the moment with who you're with.
Perfect. All right. Thanks again, Morgan. And we'll see you guys on the next one. Next topic is growth happens in adversity. So I'm super excited for that topic. I think that will be a great one. Because I think everybody's like, oh, you're successful. Well, there's a lot of growth and adversity that brought me to this space. So I'm super excited to hear a little bit about your story and go from there. So
great. It's always a pleasure, Cliff. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Morgan. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Thank you, dreamers, action takers, people in business owners reaching your potential, for joining us on this journey to awaken greatness. We hope today's episode has sparked new ideas, ignited your passion, and brought you a step closer to realizing your dreams. If you're inspired to take action and eager to learn more, visit the Dream Leader Institute's website, dreamleaderinstitute.com. There you'll discover a wealth of resources and tools tailored to help you and your business reach its potential. Already making strides and looking for additional guidance? Dr. Cliff Fisher and our team at Dream Leader Institute are ready to assist you in navigating the path to success. Stay connected with us for more insights and strategies. And remember, your greatness is waiting to be unleashed. Let's continue to dream audaciously, take action boldly, and transform dreams into reality. Until next time, awaken your greatness.